That's not what the Israeli game is. It's a long-term vision. It's not necessarily just a short-term one. It's a longer-term one. And with everything from, as we've already been through, of making sure that it's unlivable, making sure that reconstruction isn't allowed to resume, making sure that people aren't able to get a proper health, proper life, proper education. And at the same time, Israeli officials are trying to travel around finding places where Palestinians can go to. You can see that their plan is a longer term one of having more Palestinians leaving than coming back in.
What you just heard were some of the remarks delivered at a webinar organized by Euromed Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based independent organization, on the topic Gaza's Silent Reconfiguration, U.S.-backed Plans and Humanitarian, Legal and Political Implications, featuring Professor Norman Finkelstein and Diana Bhutto. More information about Euromed Human Rights Monitor is at euromedmonitor.org. You've been listening to Arab Voices, a syndicated radio talk show that airs on dozens of radio stations in the US and Europe since 2002. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Independent media is now more important than ever, and we want to know how KBOO Community Radio can best serve you. KBOO's Board of Directors invites you to a community meeting on Saturday, February 21st at 11:30 a.m. at the Clinton Street Theater and online via public video conference. This is your opportunity to share feedback, offer ideas, and help guide the station's direction. The meeting will be followed by a social hour. That's KBOO Community Radio's community meeting on Saturday, February 21st at 11:30 a.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. For more information, visit kboo.fm/community26.
Welcome to Policy for the People, a show that explores the public policies that can lift up all Oregonians. This show is a collaboration between KMUZ Radio and the Oregon Center for Public Policy. I am your host, Juan Carlos Ordóñez. Less than a year from now, thousands of working families in Oregon could find themselves in a serious bind. That's because Oregon's program of subsidized childcare, employment-related daycare, is on course to run out of money in less than a year, in January 2027. If employment-related daycare, known by its acronym ERDC, were to run out of funds, families would suddenly find themselves without childcare, making it difficult or impossible for the parents to work, to earn the money needed to pay the rent and other bills. This would be a devastating blow to families and the state, according to today's guests, Marshall Calikini and Ivy Major McDowell, who are with the organization For All Families Oregon. For All Families Oregon is a grassroots organization that believes the economy can and must do more to support working families through policies like affordable childcare. In today's episode, Marshall and Ivy discuss the state of childcare in Oregon, as well as the cloud hanging over employment-related daycare. But before we get to our conversation with Marshall and Ivy, I want to share a story that illustrates just how crucial childcare is for families, how it can mean the difference between thriving and being in a state of crisis. This is the story of Natalie Kaya, a single mother who lives in Portland.
So in 2018, I came to a place where my marriage was ending and I had two 2-year-olds. When we were separating, I realized I need childcare. There's no way I can work while having two toddlers. I, at that time, had my photography business. And so someone mentioned in passing ERDC, which I had never heard of. And they said, basically, it's food stamps, but for childcare. And I was like, oh, cool. So I applied for that. I qualified and gained access nearly immediately. I called around multiple different daycares, interviewing them. And a lot of daycares that I called took ERDC. So I really got to choose where they went. And they started pretty quickly after. In 2023, I was a single mom at the time with 3 boys. And I was already accessing ERDC for my three boys for after school care and then daycare full time for my 3-year-old at the time. And my business that I had been building was doing really well. I was doing well. I was like, oh my gosh, like I might be on the way to like buying a house one day.
The success of her business, however, came at a huge price.
I lost ERDC because my revenue for my business income was over the limit. I was working hard, I was working consistently, I was doing great, and then I lost a very critical support and I suddenly couldn't pay any, like it was so devastating. At that time when I lost ERDC, it covered the cost of childcare, and the cost of my childcare was equivalent, if not more, than my rent. So I essentially had two rents and I couldn't afford it. I ended up trying to make it work. I tried to work from home with my toddler, and then the after school hours, there's no working with kids, paying out of pocket for babysitters when I could, but I just ended up using my credit card for rent for daycare. And I ended up pulling my son out of daycare. And I ended up having to make the painful decision of moving us into a family homeless shelter because I could not afford life. I couldn't afford daycare. I couldn't afford to work.
Natalie couldn't continue running her business while living in the family shelter. Without income, she once again reapplied for employment-related daycare and was able to get back on the program. This allowed her to apply and land a job at the Oregon Food Bank, where she works today.
A typical work week or work day in my life is jam-packed. I wake up very early, 6 a.m. with these kids. They wake up early. I get them all ready for school. Lunch is packed, breakfast 8, right? Get out the door. As soon as they're out the door, I start my work day. The first hour from 8 to 9, I'm actually doing my side business photography stuff or writing or whatever sort of side. Well, I have lots of side gigs, but you know, there's that. From 9 to 5, I am then doing my Oregon Food Bank work, which is a lot. It's a lot. I love my work at Oregon Food Bank, but it is a lot and it is nonstop. Some days I don't get a lunch break. Like, it is nonstop.
Natalie's back on her feet, but the looming threat to employment-related daycare, the possibility that the program will run out of money, is a source of deep worry.
Honestly, my brain goes blank into like some disassociation trauma response, because the last time I lost ERDC, I landed in a homeless shelter. I worked very hard to get this house, like so hard. And if I don't have childcare, I cannot work full time. Childcare, like, it is the foundation of our economy.
Natalie's not alone. Thousands of Oregon families are at risk of losing their childcare if employment-related daycare runs out of money, as Marshall Kalikini and Ivy Major McDowell explain. Marshall is the political director at For All Families Oregon. Ivy is the organization's care advocacy manager. Here's our conversation. Ivy, Marshall, welcome to Policy for the People.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So today we're going to talk about the crisis that's brewing in employment-related daycare. And this is a state program that helps low-income families afford childcare. Before we get into that, though, I'd like to talk more generally about the state of childcare in Oregon. How would you summarize the situation when it comes to childcare in our state?
I think the best way to describe it is childcare costs a lot. It's unaffordable and really hard to find, even though we know it's great to have so parents can go to work. It supports our economy. And especially though, being able to have kids join a childcare or center and get quality care is so helpful in their development and supporting them later in life.
You mentioned the cost of childcare. Can you give us a sense of just how much it costs for families? How big a strain does it put on family budgets?
It's quite expensive. So it can cost up to $20,000 to $24,000 a year, which, if you can believe, is even more than some of our own Oregon public university tuitions. It's a lot of money, $20,000 to $24,000 a year, and that can vary too, right? What if your kid is younger? Infant and toddler care is more expensive. What if also you're at at home-based childcare or a center-based. And then too, also if you live in a more expensive city in Oregon, costs can be even more potentially than the $20,000.
You were talking about just how much of a bite the cost of childcare takes from family budgets. And so it seems like parents are caught in this awful dynamic where they need childcare to go to work, and yet childcare is really expensive, taking a lot of the money that they make. I wonder if you can describe what that means for families.
With even just doing that math, right, it doesn't work for working families to afford childcare, go to work. And so many times it's having to put a choice of like, can I really afford to live and work in Portland or other parts of Oregon, and having to choose between rent or putting food on the table or paying for quality childcare.
Yes, to everything Ivy said. And I think what we are hearing most from our base and what I had to do until my kids went into elementary is patching childcare in whatever capacity that means to make it work, right? And so for some families, it's one parent working the day shift, the other parent working overnights. There is the need of like, okay, which parent will work and be able to have the flexibility to pick up their child and take them to another family friend or neighbor for after school care. And I mean, with the cost of care, even part-time care is just beginning to be really unaffordable for parents. We see a lot of gig workers, people who are doing, we hear are doing like DoorDash delivery or Instacart, things that are friendly to having your child with you instead of needing to pay for care.
And to add to the complexity of the issue or the challenges that present themselves in the space of childcare is that even though it's so expensive for parents, the profession doesn't pay very much. I wonder if you can talk about the wages and working conditions that workers in the childcare industry face.
Yeah, I think on average statewide, a childcare worker makes around $35,000 a year, which really, I think, shows how much we undervalue care work historically, even though and it's because the majority of childcare workers are female and women of color. So they're not making a lot, and they have to make that choice because as running a business like childcare, they need to be able to do the balance of like, what can they afford to staff and how many kids can they take care of, but also to make it at a reasonable price so then working parents can then use their services and be their clients. And so they're always running that balance, even though we're seeing such higher costs for things. Like they help to buy and supply like materials, learning materials, but then also of food to provide. Cost keeps rising up, but they have to keep some of their own like salary down as a way to be affordable for the parents they provide service to and kids.
The only thing that I would add is, you know, providing child care, because of the low wages, it often has high turnover. We see a lot of child care providers and early learning folks who leave that workforce to go on to higher education because it pays more. There's benefits, right? When we think of childcare, we think unlimited time, your childcare worker will not get sick. And that's not true. There's more germs than ever in a childcare place. And, you know, I think for a lot of the parents that we talk to, their journey into starting their childcare business was frankly because there was no other choice for them to otherwise stay at home. And so why not offer that to the rest of the community? So you're not talking about large investors who have overhead, right? These are people who are doing the work because they see the need or they had the need themselves and are filling the gap. So we actually have the largest workforce shortage in childcare workers across the state and really need to invest in that industry, frankly.
That's a good sort of segue for the main issue that I wanted to talk about today, which is Employment-related daycare, which is it's a state-subsidized program. And I wonder if you can talk about what the purpose of employment-related daycare is, which is also known by its acronym ERDC.
Yeah, so it's our Oregon's child care assistant program. So it helps support families who at their income are needing extra support so they can afford child care. And so we currently know that there are 12,000 families currently active and connected to a provider through ERDC and using that. And there's over, I think, 4,000 child care providers across Oregon who also accept ERDC payments and support them to sustain their businesses as well. And I think also too, we know that right now the average pay that parent or families who are on ERDC need to make is just $10 to the program, which is like so affordable. Just like you're able to be able to access this great program because the state is funding it. You just pay $10 for it, and then your kids, probably multiple of them, are able to then get that quality care for $10 out of the household's pocket.
What families does employment-related daycare serve?
That's a great question, because the assumption would be people who are working, since it's employment-related daycare. But we made some big changes in the state legislature in 2021, where we prioritize survivors of domestic violence to jump the wait list and get connected to care immediately. We also prioritize children who are in the foster system or currently going through that process. And then we also expanded the program to include students and TANF recipients, cash assistance families. And that's because all of these different agencies housed a child care program. And as a parent, you needed to call all the different agencies to figure out what your options were. And that didn't make sense. And that doesn't make it easy for parents who are already balancing work and five different schedules. So we made the Department of Early Learning and Care. And so not only does it include and prioritize those families, the income limits are actually pretty feasible. You have to make within the 200% poverty level. But an example is for a family of four, that gross income limit is around $5,300. And so looking at Oregon's median wage, it covers so many families that are looking for care. And that's part of the reason why we have over 15,000 families on the wait list, hoping that this program stays intact and funded.
And that figure that you mentioned, that's a monthly figure?
Yes, that's a monthly figure.
Yeah, I can see that it would cover quite a bit of people.
Can I share more about some of those changes that I think are key, though, to also explaining, like, how did we make it a $10 copay, right? And that's because when those changes happened, we capped those copays at 7% of a household income. And you might think like, oh my gosh, $10 is so low. But when you look at the cost of care, that's now more than the cost of rent, right? And so when you look at how a family's budget after taxes is split up, this really allows the family to build their wealth and ultimately and hopefully get off of the program. And so something that I was really excited about is that exit limit also increased, right? So we talked about a family of four having to make around $4,300. Well, when they are exiting the program, when they submit their pay stubs for proof of employment, they now can make up to $9,000 a month when exiting. And so it really encourages families to pursue their career or, you know, take that promotion. Whereas prior to that, people were really afraid to grow in their career because one, you know, you make $200 extra a month and you're over that limit, all of a sudden you're stuck, you're kicked off the program and stuck with a $4,000 bill that you have to pay for. The other thing that I think was really important for childcare providers is that they were paid based on enrollment instead of attendance, so that as a childcare business, they have that predictable, stable funding because kids get sick. Kids also go on vacation, and that should not prohibit a childcare provider from being paid because the cost of rent and your utilities, they don't change because a kiddo is sick. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is the program also allowed for extended hours so that families who are working those non-traditional shifts or longer days, could still use the program and it not be such a like 9 to 5, just unrealistic time frame.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Policy for the People. And in this episode, I'm speaking with Marshall Kalikini and Ivy Major McDowell. We're discussing the state of childcare in Oregon, as well as the risk that Oregon's program of subsidized childcare, employment-related daycare, could be running out of money. For All Families, Oregon has said that employment-related daycare is on the brink. Can you talk about the funding crisis that ERDC currently faces and how we got here?
We know because we have been talking to our state agency, the Department of Early Learning and Care, and to they had reported to the state legislature in November that they are seeing a shortfall for the ERDC program. And that had also happened because when they were approved their budget for the 2025 through 2027, it did not meet current service levels. So we knew as advocates that this was going to be a problem, and here it comes straight at our door. And so DELC has said it's estimated to be a $73 to $88 million shortfall in the program. As it's at its current caseload of serving 12,000 families, that's on average 24,000 kids statewide, is running out of money by January 2027, so next year.
So what happens if the program runs out of money a year from now?
It literally means no childcare. Families won't be able to use their subsidy. Childcare small businesses will have to close, right? Families right now are paying $10. You take away this subsidy and that average cost is paying another rent bill. The math will never math for our families on ERDC. So it'll be catastrophic to Oregon's economy.
We have from our own base who has submitted testimony in support of ERDC. A lot of them are rural providers who also depend on or also are able to run their small childcare business because of ERDC slots. So if we take those slots away, that just puts the childcare businesses in such a huge pinch, and they may have to close their doors. And that's just, even if like funding, for example, returns the next year, that's possibly making a business close now in this year that we can possibly not recover from.
And just to see if I'm understanding it clearly, if the program runs out of money in January 27, does that mean that the 12,000 families would lose their subsidy?
Yes, absolutely.
Or it's also the policy choice of state legislators of just cutting off or reducing the caseload as well that of the families currently serve. So either way, thousands of Oregon families could lose their access to this childcare assistance that's so vital for them. And that's the policy choice that legislators are making if they don't fund this.
So we're speaking on the eve of the start of the 2026 Oregon legislative session. What are you asking Oregon lawmakers to do with respect to this funding crisis that ERDC is facing?
Now, our ask to lawmakers is to be bold and to disconnect from the federal tax code. We don't need millionaires and corporations to have double the loopholes and in their taxes. And if we do that, that gives us, you know, almost $400 million in revenue, depending on which codes we disconnect from. And that literally will not just cover the ERDC shortfall, but really support other agencies that are struggling because of the federal government's attacks on SNAP and Medicaid. The other thing that I would uplift to lawmakers is this is the time that they can step up in their leadership to fund ERDC during a time when Head Start is being federally attacked. Preschool for All is also under attack from the wealthy folks in Portland. And so that return on investment of childcare is $4 to $16 for every $1 we invest. So it seems like it should be a no-brainer, but it starts with that choice to prioritize funding this program and making sure that no families are cut.
I wonder if you can explain a little bit, walk us through the issue of disconnect. It's a bit of a complicated topic, perhaps, as tax issues tend to be, but I wonder if you can sort of break it down for the listeners, kind of like how an ordinary person might understand what this is all about.
I can try to tackle this. I've been having conversations with my 10 and 13-year-old about this. So the best way that I could explain it is, you know, saying Trump and his administration, they created tax breaks for his wealthy friends and corporations. Oregon is one of those states that copies and pastes almost exactly what those federal tax breaks look like. So if you are wealthy and you do business in Oregon, or you have a corporation here, or you are wealthy and you live here, you get double the tax break and double the loophole. Or we can join almost every other state in the country by saying, we actually don't want the same tax breaks and loopholes for wealthy people and corporations who pay their CEO millions of dollars. We're going to have them pay the exact same tax rate that they've been paying every single year. And just by doing that, we have so much more money to support our roads, our hospitals, our schools, childcare, Oregon Health Plan, and all the things that are so important to our community and our neighbors. And you know what my kids' responses are to that? It's like, why haven't they done that yet?
As we wrap up, I wonder if you have any final thoughts on that you would like to share regarding the state of childcare here in Oregon, and in particular, employment-related daycare, and perhaps kind of what the way forward is.
Well, I'm happy, you know, I wouldn't be in my position if I wasn't an organizer first and at heart to really welcome everyone who's listening to join the fight. You know, our team is in the building all the time, and we hear from lawmakers that they need to hear from their constituents on just what we experience living our day-to-day lives. And all of these issues are interconnected. If I have to pay my childcare bill, I can't put the same amount of groceries in my refrigerator. I might not be able to pay rent. If transportation is cut, I might not have a ride to my job and need to start over. You know, at the end of the day, it is the working class and working families that are the core of our communities that are under attack from these really wealthy folks, and we need to really stop fighting each other and come together. So get involved with our organization or organizations that fight for issues that you care about. Meet new people and be like, oh my gosh, we are actually all struggling with the same thing together. And it's not because we suck. It's because of the policy choices. So get involved. Let's take action.
And Ivy, if folks want to get in touch with For All Families Oregon, how can they get in touch? And also, if you have any final thoughts you want to share with us, please go ahead.
Definitely follow For All Families Oregon on Instagram. We also have a Facebook, but definitely Instagram is more active. That has our registration link. That's how you can sign up and volunteer with us. Also, you can reach out to me specifically, ivy@forallfamilies.org. I would love to get you involved as well. Because all the time I am meeting with these legislators and they're tired of seeing my face and they need to hear from their own constituents. Find out who is your state rep and state senator, or call them, email them, or also join us in person in Salem, because there's a lot of ways you can take action now, and we'd love for you to join us.
Well, Ivy and Marshall, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening to Policy for the People. We will see you next time.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Open Signal PDX, presenting their Youth Media Collective, a six-month collaborative for youth ages 14 to 18 to explore storytelling, journalism, and media production. A listening session will take place on February 18th